to leave no later than noon, since he needs to be in Monterey. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and start. This time, I'd like to call to order the Napomo Community Services District regular meeting of May 10th, 2006. Please rise, join me in the flag salute. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We'd like the, Madam, Mrs. Johnson, would you call the roll, please?
Director Beebe.
Here.
Director Trotter.
Here.
Director Worthy.
Here.
Director Lynn.
Here.
President Verhaeghe.
Here. At this time, we're going to go into the public comment period. And I think there may be one or two people arriving here shortly. Looks like the Bodgers vehicle out there. Okay. Gonna step up here. I have this beautiful script here that was prepared by our water conservation compliance specialist. Wish you all a very good morning. This is a beautiful spring day, and we're now getting into our irrigation, time to irrigate things season. And the NCSD board behind me and myself, they're just absolutely delighted to recognize the student awards for our first annual NCSD Water Awareness Poster Art Contest. May is Water Awareness Month, so we're all now out of the rainy season, thinking, gee, I better turn back on again. Each of these students has submitted a poster of their own original design, drawing, you name it. My mom and dad didn't get out there and fill in the blanks or anything, about the importance of water conservation on the Napomo Mesa. And it's not just the Mesa, it's east side, west side, the whole Napomo area, the whole county, let's put it that way. The winning entries are beautifully displayed. The winning entries, the winning posters are beautifully displayed in our entry. So I didn't want to say entry twice because we have an English professor here. Gotta have some fun with this, Michael. At this time, I would like to ask Belinda and Claire and Amber and Nikki to step forward. Up here. Okay. Don't be bashful. This is that's right at execution. It is my very distinct pleasure to award you your, and we will start with Melinda, the awards for entering the poster contest, winning. Thank you. entire community. And we're looking, we're really looking forward to next year where four folks up here with a lot more because it's great. Thank you very much. One more item. I would like to invite Mr. LeBrun forward here. Step up to the plate. My buddy Michael, as you know, Michael is our general manager and he will be leaving us shortly. What a rainy day he did.
I'm saved by the bell.
NCSD has a resolution recognizing Mr. LeBrun's service, and I won't read this by title only, it will be the full thing, so here we go. Resolution 2006-971, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Natoma Community Services District thanking Michael LeBrun for his service to the Natoma Community Services District and to the community of Natoma. Whereas Michael LeBrun serves as General Manager to Natoma Community Services District began on September 13, 2004. And whereas Michael LeBrun diligently served the district for the past 20 months and made great strides in improving all aspects of the district's operation. And whereas the Natoma Community Services District recognizes the numerous accomplishments of Michael LeBrun during his tenure, such as the completion of the water and sewer rate study, the approval of the urban water management plan update, approval of mandatory solid waste collection, which is somewhat controversial, and whereas Michael was instrumental in hiring of the district's first water conservation compliance specialist and the district's first projects assistant, and whereas Michael took the lead to have all board agendas, minutes, and board packets scanned and placed on the district website in an effort to keep the public informed. If you don't know what to do at 3 a.m., you can go on the website and read this stuff, but there's a mountain of it. Whereas Michael LeBrun embodies the best qualities of public administration with his intelligence, honesty, humility, and professionalism, and whereas, most of all, Michael improved the district's public image and fostered trust with all those he came in contact with as an excellent representative of Natoma Community Services District. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors as follows. The Board of Directors of the Natoma Community Services District wishes to express sincere appreciation to Michael LeBrun and wishes him great success in his future endeavors. The Board
Mr. Trotter.
I heard a rumor recently that Armstrong is retiring. And, and Michael is going to be a candidate next year.
I see. So you're going to enter the...
The Tour de France.
I'll be the one running up the hill with a banner. I'll be on my bike.
Okay, then at this time, I guess we'll get down to some serious type business. Open it to public comment for the public to address any item that's not on today's agenda, but within the purview of the board. And
they have to go to school.
Would then like to request Commander Martin Basti of the SLO County Sheriff's Department.
Morning, President Verheilig and members of the board, staff, and members of the public, Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. First, let me wish Michael LeBrun well. I certainly appreciate all the assistance, your professionalism, and your cooperation in working with us on mutually beneficial items for the district. So it's much appreciated, and you're going to be sorely missed. So appreciate all your help.
My pleasure.
A couple of things. We had a number of vehicle thefts, and of course, as gas gets cresting $3.50 a gallon, obviously fuel thefts are becoming one of the more prevalent things. And again, with crime prevention, locking gas cap is not necessarily the best solution. The county found out we locked all our gas caps. What they started doing is cutting or punching holes in the tanks, which was $500-$600 repair versus, you know, losing a little bit of fuel. So I'm not sure that it's going to get any better, but the ones we always encourage everybody to lock their vehicles, and it's amazing how many people leave valuable items, cash, cell phones, wallets in their cars without locking them. So, but we have stepped up patrol, and those have quieted down. So we had about six in a week, and then it quiets down. That may be attributed to folks being off for the spring break as well, or visitors from out of county. Next, I'd like to announce next week, the 14th through the 20th, is National Law Enforcement Memorial Week. The county will be putting on a couple of displays. First will be the Farmers Market downtown Thursday night in San Luis Obispo, where there'll be several agencies on display. And then, if anybody's interested, Wednesday morning the 17th, this year the memorial service for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, lost their life in the line of duty, will be at the Pismo Pier at 9 a.m. on Wednesday the 17th, and the public is invited to join us as we pay tribute to those who lost their lives in the last year. Next, before the next meeting, the 13th, since you have the meeting on the 14th, is the Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. We'll be coming through up Pomeroy, down Teft, and then with the High Patrol, and the Sheriff's Department will pick it up at the corner by Jocko's and take it to the county line, pass it on to Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department, who will then carry it through their county and ultimately ends up in Long Beach for the state game. So this is the time of year that law enforcement works with the community to raise funds for our Special Olympic athletes. And last, can I answer any questions or any problems or issues from the board or the public?
Any questions?
Okay, and as I conclude, typically, we've had a number of questions, both with the advisory and your board, on traffic issues. This morning, if it pleases the board, I'd like to introduce Lieutenant Stephen Newman. He is the area lieutenant that provides service for the California Highway Patrol. And as you know, we do all the criminal and civil, and the California Highway Patrol is responsible for all traffic issues related to any county roads or state highways. So Stephen is recently a transferee up from Southern California. So I'd like him to introduce himself and at least give you a contact. So if you do have those traffic issues that come up, that you have a direct contact with their agency because they provide a wonderful service for the community. So without any further, if it would please you, I'll introduce Lieutenant Stephen Newman.
Thank you very much, Commander Basti.
Good morning, board members. As Marty said, I recently transferred here about 6 months ago, so I'm still getting up to speed. Some of my functions in the office as well as the community issues. Before I begin, I haven't met Mr. LeBrun before, but I would like to congratulate you on your certificate and your send-off. Sometimes people get the law enforcement agencies confused. You know, they don't really know what the difference between what the sheriffs do, what the highway patrol does, or what the local police do. So I just want to kind of give you an overview of what we do as the Highway Patrol. Basically, our role is very simple, can be summarized in one sentence, and that's to provide service to the and ensure the safety of the motoring public. That means taking drunk drivers off the road, stopping people for traffic violations, and making sure they get to and from their residence, wherever they're going, back home safely. Our responsibilities can kind of be summed up into four categories. Number one, providing public service or public information to the public via TV, radio, or websites. That public information sometimes includes, I'm going to turn around this way a little bit, freeway closures or lane restrictions because of traffic accidents or construction zones. We provide information with respect to road conditions because of weather, inclement weather. Wind advisories, that's normally we put that information out for the big rigs so that they don't get overturned. Second category is enforcement. We enforce all the state traffic laws and county ordinance. We investigate traffic accidents. We arrest DUI drivers and other major offenders. And we address traffic complaints in your community, such as parking or speeding vehicles, things like that. Those are things, those complaints are usually generated by members of the public who call into our office. And I did want to provide everyone here with a phone number and my name. My last name is spelled N-E-U-M-A-N-N. And our phone number is 805-593-3300. And I'll leave some business cards here. But I'd be the guy to call if you've got an issue in your community. And then I will delegate that issue probably to one of the field supervisors, who will then assign it to a beat patrol officer who patrols your community on a regular basis. And then if you're not, and we track these complaints. They're all logged. And if you call back, you know, 2 weeks later and say, hey, this problem's still going on. What have you guys done about it? I'm able to access a file to see what officers have been out there on what days and what they've done about it, whether they've issued verbal warnings or whether they've given a ticket or whether they've got the car removed if it was an abandoned vehicle, something like that. The other thing is education. We have DUI prevention programs. We've got public affairs officers that go around to the military bases, go to the high schools. We have car seat inspection programs. We've got safe driving and use of seatbelt lectures. We've got, again, as I said earlier, public service announcement. The fourth category is community involvement. We try to attend community meetings throughout the community. We try to meet with the sheriffs, the fire department, the police department with issues. We have school safety meetings and any other public meetings that where we're requested to attend. At this point, our year-ahead focus is, number one, reduce the number of fatality and injury accidents in your community. We're trying to do that with, if we can get a DUI checkpoint set up. We're all constantly emphasizing to our patrol officers that we want enforcement on DUI, seatbelts, and speed. Those are the three things that they've been asked to focus on this year. And we've also obtained some grant funding so that we can deploy extra units out over and above the officers that we have assigned to the beat. Our number two priority this year is traffic management and emergency incidents. You probably don't have the issues here as much as they do in some of the big metropolitan areas, but people get very, very frustrated when they're jammed up in traffic. And so it's become a big priority for the Highway Patrol. So we've met with the fire department. We've discussed on how the placement of fire engines at accident scenes. So bottom line is we try to keep as many lanes open as we can and try to get you around so that you're not stuck in gridlock traffic. Then auto theft, I think Commander Basti touched on. We've got an auto theft goal. We're trying to reduce the number of auto thefts in the state by 5% from last year. We don't have LoJack yet, but I think that's something my commander is looking into. We have bait cars. I don't know if you've seen some of these bait cars on TV. It's a car that's it's got cameras in it. It's set in a high-priority area where theft is prevalent. And then the bad guys get in it. Usually the doors lock or there's a way for the patrolman that's nearby to kill the ignition. So they've got a thing called now a license plate reader. I personally haven't seen one yet. It's a device that can be put in a patrol car or it can be used at a checkpoint. But it's a device that if it's in a patrol car, it scans 360 degrees. It reads every license plate within its range. And it can even, I guess, read license plates if you're traveling 100 miles an hour, people behind you, people in front of you, parked vehicles. and it runs these vehicles, and if they're in the data system, they come up as stolen. I think last year, in about a month time, wherever they deployed it, they recovered like 100 stolen vehicles, so it's a pretty good item. Just for some public resources for you guys, we've got a public affairs officer at our officer. His name is Officer Joe Vega. For those of you who don't know him, he's very friendly. He always gets a lot of commendations and praise wherever he goes. He usually does a very good job. But he's available as a guest speaker for your community, for groups, schools, if you have some sort of a function where you want to try to get some topics such as you want him to speak about DUI or seat belts or child safety seats. He can go to the elementary schools or the high schools or come to a meeting if you've got some things like that. Our office has a variety of pamphlets from military driver's licenses and registration and their exemptions, off-road vehicles, bicycle safety, things like that. So if you think you want some sort of a pamphlet for your group or your concern, give me a call and I'll see if we've got a pamphlet on that. If we don't have it in our office, I can probably get it from Sacramento at the headquarters. We do VIN verifications. That's something that sometimes people need to get a vehicle registered if it's something, a modified vehicle that they've built or it's been salvaged. That's done by appointments only. It's something only the Highway Patrol can do. So between one of the Highway Patrol offices in the area, you can usually get in within a month or so. And then for those of you that might be interested, we're going to be starting up our Explorer program again. So if you know a young man or lady that is maybe thinking about being a police officer, we can check with our office, and we've got an Explorer program that we're starting back up. That's all I have on my agenda. I was told that to pass on that last year, I guess you guys had a cleanup, some sort of a cleanup, the Napomo Summer Festival on 624. I was told that, to advise you that last year's cleanup was very successful. I'm not familiar with this, so excuse me on that. But I was supposed to ask if you guys were planning on doing that again this year.
Yes.
Does anyone know about that?
And I think we have the dates pretty well fixed, but we'll get them to you as quickly as we can.
And we'll be glad to help out again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then, let's see. I was going to let you know that we are doing an every 15-minute program again at your high school on the May 16th and May 17th. I think that's all I have. Are there any questions for me? If I don't have the answer, I will try to get the answers for you.
Mr. Eby, you have a question?
Yes. The South County Advisory Council meets on May 22nd of this month. And if you're available, I'd appreciate you giving the same presentation there that night.
It's already on my calendar.
We meet 6:30 on May 22nd in this room.
I hear you. Commander Basti advised me that, and that's already on my calendar, so
I plan
to be here.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
I have a question, too.
Mr. Wynn.
You mentioned parking. That's one of the areas that you're responsible for. What about abandoned vehicles? Who do we go to for that?
Right now, it is still the Highway Patrol. I know that's under review just because it's one of those issues where the tow companies, whether it's here or any community in the state, the tow company is usually stuck with this thing, and it's always a problem. And I don't know if you have any other information on that, Marty, but I know that we're at least working towards getting the county enforcement code people involved with that as well. But for the time being, we are still handling the abandoned vehicle calls.
Thank you.
Mr. Wayne, what they're doing is the county right now is a discussion with Hopkill and the county sheriff, working out a program where we're leaving them some of the responsibility to get them removed quicker and have funding to get rid of them. So that's in the works.
I'm just going to leave you with enough cars to pass some of the money.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Wayne. Battalion Chief Anderson, it's good to see you again.
There you go.
Of course, it's also good to see Felix, too.
I understand he probably does a better job when I'm not here, but members of the board, members of the public, Dan Anderson with CDF San Luis County Fire. Just some statistical information. The past month, we ran 117 calls down here on the Mesa, 69 of them being medical, 9 fires, and the rest are various other calls. The couple of things that are coming up, that are currently going on, is we started the annual chipping program. Again, we were able to do it this year where we go around, split the Napomo area up into three zones and go around and do the chipping program at the residence property. It was real successful. This year we were in danger of losing the monies for that. Fortunately, Air Pollution Control District came up with a grant and we were able to fund it again this year, so we've got that currently underway. They're doing the West Napomo area this week and next week, and I think in a couple weeks we'll be doing the central area followed by the East Napomo area. So that's, again, going on, very successful. Some of the other things that are currently going on, you know, we have the paramedic program here in Napomo. Unfortunately, we lost one of our paramedic positions. We're hoping to get it back. We don't look that to be in a reduction in service of any means or anything, but it's just a scheduling issue more than anything. But that person was reassigned into San Luis to coordinate a medic program for the entire county. So fortunately, I think the county fire will see a benefit for the reduction we'll have here, and they're working on funding here in future years to hopefully get that position back to this area. I also had a couple other promotions within this area. One of our firefighter twos was promoted to engineer, Mr. Danner, and he will be staying here, and we had another engineer that was promoted to captain, which will be leaving us and going to the Santa Margarita area, and I'll be looking for a replacement there. And lastly, if you probably haven't heard some of the stuff, we have new legislation that was enacted this year that is requiring some more extensive brush clearance areas around structures. Most of the service district area is not impacted by this. It is only in state responsibility areas, which some of the Summit Station is, some of the Central Mesa, more populated areas are not. We've always had the 30-foot clearance, and it's been expanded to 100-foot, but that additional 70 feet is modified clearance, mostly the limbing of trees and spacing of brush, and so it's mainly to reduce the hazard that we see in the general areas. One of the things that we're probably going to start seeing a lot of now is vacant lots with the weeds on them. Most areas, we don't have ordinance or law that allows us to clear those, just every one of them. It's not an item the county has decided to go after. But what we do is we do a case-by-case a review of those. One of the areas what normally comes up is this area right out here. Again, we will probably get a hold of county and ask them to handle that. Most of those vacant weeds are handled by just that. You ask the people to clear it. Most people are more than willing to do it once they are requested. Otherwise, a lot of the vacant lots we run into are out-of-town owners, so we really have a hard time in those cases mitigating it. With that, I'll open it to any questions.
Questions from the audience of Battalion Chief Anderson. And thank you very much, Battalion Chief Anderson.
Well, thank you, and Mr. LeBron, I wish you all the best, and I appreciate working with you.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Okay, at this time, move to the consent agenda, item number D, warrants, minutes, many items on there, street landscaping maintenance for District 1, any questions or comments of staff from the board? Mr. Wynn?
No.
Mr. Eby? Mrs. Worsen?
I have a question.
Okay, Mr. Trotter.
You had some difficulty bringing the telemeter equipment up to speed. Are you pleased with it now?
Yes, if I can display it up here, I will. But as you recall, that contract was let by your board in August of 2004, and it was envisioned to be a 14-week contract. We're picking on that today. Some updates by myself and by the contractor in this case, but the system is now been complete. Work under the contract's been complete. We'll be adding some elements to the program Cody Supervisor's estimation, it is, while it's caused us some additional overtime actually here in recent months, we are finding out about problems we didn't know we had. And that's what's going on. A number of our lift stations, unless we had a red light come on, we didn't know we had a problem. Now we know we have a problem much earlier when pumps are failing to start and then the backup pump starts and any stuff. And so much improved system, and I see it evolving as we go out in the future to provide even more utility in our basin monitoring efforts and so on.
What you can access on the internet is excellent. I do that on the phone.
As do I, and I just thought I'd bring up, and we can see it here just as a display. And this is the active summary sheet right now, and what we see at the top is the Oaks lift station. We have an alert. It's been acted on. I don't know if it's a little tough to read here, but what it means here is we've got an alert at the Oaks lift station, and we've got a lift station low alarm. Sounds better than a lift station high alarm to me, but in any event, it says acted afterwards, and that means that the staff person who's on call this week, they're of course at work, but they carry the on-call cell phone, and they'll receive a text message whenever any alert comes through the system, and we have an alert at the Southland Wastewater Treatment Plant, also where this lift pump 2 is tripped. So staff's made aware of these remotely in 24/7 response, or alerting, and then can act on those by either coming on the web from any computer, or coming, of course, they can make some initial response on the web. We have limited controls of certain pumps and valves within the system from remote web access, and then would follow that up with additional responses needed. And I'll just page down, and you can see that what happens is we've got a standard order, but when you get alerts, those items are brought right to the top, but typically our reservoirs, which are the stand pipe and quad tanks, are listed first. And then we go down through our wells. We can see Eureka Well here it's got a minimum, a minor flow rate. This is actually noise. It says 1.17, and that well is, so that well is not flowing, but then we report the well table. And then we have three pressure points about the system. And I think those will expand. I've been talking with Dan about adding a pressure point to the highest point in our system up in Summit Station. Right now, this is the lowest point in our system, represents the highest system pressure we'll see at any one time. It's 165 pounds as it reads now. If the Eureka pump was running, it would be closer to 200 pounds, pretty upper limit of a water system pressure. Not to get lost in this, but the system is a vast improvement over the SCADA or the remote monitoring system that the district had previous. So while the contract took some time to complete, I think Mr. Anderson's work was done thoroughly. It's done at or slightly under budget, and we expect to continue our relationship with Mr. Anderson and continue to maintain and expand the system. So very happy with it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions of staff on the... John, do we need to go into public comment on this? Yes, and I will open it to public comment on our consent agenda. There are 7 items, including, believe it or not, 5 resolutions, starting with 972, since 971 was already read. So we need a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Mr. Wynn, thank you. And a second by Mr. Trotter. Mrs. Johnson, for the vote, please.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Morrison?
Yes.
Director Eden?
Yes.
President Rahal?
Yes. We'll move on to item number E1, which is an annexation application. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheiler. As outlined in the staff report, we had a request for annexation. This is commonly known as the Craig property. I have the agent listed there, but this is what's been termed as the Craig property, and I think it's been around for a number of years. Of course, they've presented us with an application for annexation, which came in and was deemed complete for filing. I've got it here, received on March 31st, and it was complete sometime thereafter. But in any event, I think a key point is that in December of this past year, the Board of Supervisors heard this item and gave the applicant a conditional approval, and that main condition that impacts us here today is the applicant was told, as far as water resources, that they would come before the Napomo Community Services District and request an annex to the district, request annexation, annex to the district for water service. What the application is for is approximately 18.9 acre parcel that lies immediately west of Black Lake on the north side of Willow Road at Via Concha. The proposal is to develop 16 homes on approximately 1 acre home sites. This is area 7 of our annexation area. Don't have that. Well, we have a map attached actually here to the staff report. Taking the liberty in the staff report to review our current annexation policy and aspects of that policy and how they or how this project complies with that policy. I think probably best at this point, I will point out that the application process, this is a bit different of a process for us as opposed to our typical service process. I have attached at the end of your staff report attachments our flow chart, our current flow chart for annexations. So today what staff is looking for from the board is an approval of the application itself and direction to staff to go forward and negotiate an annexation agreement, at which time the annexation agreement, once negotiated to the satisfaction of your staff and the applicant would sign that agreement and we'd come back before your board at a subsequent meeting for approval of the annexation agreement. In an annexation process, the annexation agreement is similar or akin to our intent to serve letter. With that in hand, the applicant would then move forward to LAFCO, with an approved annexation agreement. The next step for the applicant is LAFCO. They make that application. We, of course, staff would provide processing and support of the application. And again, on annexations, like any other development we process here at the district, one of the first steps, once we move to the annexation agreement and beyond, is for the applicant to set up a deposit account, which would cover all the district incurred costs. And with that, again, staff's recommendation here today would be the Honorable Board approve the application for annexation and direct staff to draft an annexation agreement. The applicant, representatives of the applicant in the audience today, I know they'd be happy. They may have a presentation or be here for questions, a small presentation, and then available for questions. And staff, of course, available for any questions.
Okay, well, thank you. would then like to request the applicants or representatives.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Carol Florence. I'm with Oasis Associates. I'm a principal planner. And I've been working with the Craig family and actually the Lucemar Unified School District because this particular piece you're looking at this morning was part of a larger property that was split off as a public lot and given by the Craig family to the Lucemar Unified School District. I always find it interesting to look back at my job numbers, and my job number for this particular project is 2003. So with that said, I just wanted to make you aware of the fact that we have made application to the county at the end of April for a vesting tentative tract map for the property. One of the requirements to actually make application is a clearance letter from the County Environmental Health Department. which we did receive, but I wanted to make you aware of the fact that although there is a very direct condition and planning area standard for the project that came out of the general plan amendment to annex to the district, environmental health has also added that we need to secure an intent to serve letter, which I believe would essentially translate into an accepted annexation agreement by both parties. But we need that prior to actually even scheduling a planning commission hearing. So that's extremely important to us in the big scheme of things. We're right now in the 30-day process where the county deems the application complete or not. So we are very anxious, and we're looking forward to your approval this morning to give direction to staff to initiate the annexation agreement process with us, since there are a number of steps to be handled within that process, which will directly impact our ability to move through with our vesting tentative tract map. With that said, I would just make myself available for questions. I look forward to your positive response this morning. I thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Mr. Wynn, please.
Thank you, Ms. Florence. I appreciate your being here and representing Mr. Craig today. When I went over the application, the request for annexation, there were a number of blanks that weren't filled in that I would hope you can assure us about today.
Okay.
On the first page, item number 7, I see what it says about water, but there's a blank for sewer. Can you, since that's been a matter of some concern to your neighbors, can you assure us that you're not looking to hook onto the Black Lake sewer system?
No, and actually that's a very good question. I can answer that. Part of our application package includes a geotechnical feasibility study. We went out and looked at the percolation feasibility of the site. That was also part of our submittal to the Environmental Health Department. So our clearance letter covers the water aspect with you, as well as looking at those feasibility studies or the percolation studies, and they have also issued the clearance letter based on that. So we are looking at individual septic systems.
Thank you. And then on the next page, at the very top, number 10, it says maximum number of units based on current zoning, and you have 16. That's 16 structures, 16?
Yes, we agreed through the entitlement process and the general plan to limit this to 16 lots and also 16 units.
So when I saw 16 lots, I was curious whether somebody's talking about secondaries or granny units, and you're not.
No.
Thank you. I understood that was agreed that you wouldn't.
Yes.
You said 16 lots, it doesn't tell me.
Director Wynn, you have a very good memory, though.
And and those are the only questions that I have.
Thank you.
Oh, no. At the very bottom of the page, number 16G, the well that's there, can you tell us the deposition of that well? I notice you're not offering it in dedication to the NCSD.
We are not at this juncture, and that's something that if there's a desire on the district's part, I certainly would like to take that back to Mr. Craig. I think there was a commitment also to the school district, so I'm more than happy to discuss that aspect with them as we go through the process with you.
Thank you.
I believe that they thought the well would provide the irrigation for the school site. When and if it comes.
Which would be fine. I'm not pushing for any particular outcome. I just like clarity. Thanks.
Mr. Eby, any questions? Mrs. Worsing? Mr. Trott?
I too, thank you for coming. Has the property, that portion of the property been deeded, or will it be deeded to the school? Is that a firm?
Yes, it has been.
Policy. Secondly, this is more directed to Michael LeBrun. There was some talk that district ever acquired that well, it would be considered as an addition of Blackwick supplies. They had a well that failed there. It's failing. And what is the status of that?
Well, I'll bring up the picture.
Actually, you know, as Ms. Florence has indicated, the well, we've had some discussion over there's a well casing at the site. It's not an improved well. There's no pump or a wellhead facilities there. This isn't the best picture, but our aerial overlay actually ends and cuts the Craig property in half. I think I'm pointing at the right property. And it's perfect because it cuts it right in half the way Mr. Craig cut it in half, because he handed it 20 acres, try to hold steady here, here in the white, that's Lucia Marr ownership now, and then the 20 acres that is in our aerial directly adjacent to Via Concha is still in Mr. Craig's holding, and that's what's the subject of our discussion of annexation today. There is a well, I believe it's a 12-inch diameter casing out on the site. However, as this board well knows, this is also the area, that's our Eureka well here, a number of our wells. This is one of the areas that's most depressed as far as the groundwater table. And as I've pointed out to the applicants, a well in this location, while the district is potentially interested in that well, but it does not represent a source of water. It represents an access to a depleted source of water, but nonetheless a new straw in the area, something that the district potentially could use in the future to better manage our pumping in the greater area. Here in Black Lake, again just adjacent, our Black Lake supply wells are wells 3, it's located about here, if I could stop shaking, and well 4 right in this area. And in fact, 4 and 3, I'm not sure. But the well that's located approximately right here, Black Lake supply well, has got, it's an old well, and the screen is very diminished, and we see some very high drawdown in that well for that reason. So it's limited to us, and it's dropping in its ability to supply. So, you know, my just thinking out in the future and a thought in mind there would be that a well in this location, if we did receive a well in this location, could be tied into the Black Lake supply system to offset having to drill a new Black Lake well, something like that. But this is very preliminary discussion, and again, I just heard today, and I could see that being viable, that the school district, depending on what they do with this site, could use a well for irrigation. I think that would be in line with your board's policy. So.
One of the thoughts that was tossed around. Okay, Benton would like to open it up to the public, to the general public, for any comments on this item. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for further discussion.
I have a comment.
Mr. Eby, please.
In light of our revision, upcoming revision of the annexation policy, I think this any action on this annexation is premature, and I don't think that we should consider it today. I've condensed my position on the annexation policy and provided it to the directors today, and there's a copy in the back of the room for the public. Regarding the belief that we should not be annexing anything until we have supplemental water in our system, I still believe that, and I think that any annexations should be postponed until we have supplemental water in our system. In about 2 weeks, we're going to be considering the revisions to our annexation policy, and this particular annexation should be subject to the revised annexation policy, not the old annexation policy, because the old annexation policy, as I mentioned in my white paper, had a lot of assumptions or lack of knowledge that we could benefit from today. So I would recommend that we do not authorize annexation proceedings to this property at this time.
Mr. Wing, please.
I'm going to support the annexation request today for a number of clear reasons. First, the applicant approval for this was conditioned by actions which our board asked the Board of Supervisors to make, and that is to require them to apply for annexation. And they did so at our request. So to change the rules on them, I think, would be inappropriate. Secondly, we have not changed our annexation policy. I remind you that yesterday's vote was a tentative instruction to staff to explore some new language. Whether we actually adopt that language is still questionable. I'm not going to support it, and I hope that there will be three people on this board who will not support it. But third, I don't see that it's in our interest to turn them down and then turn on a well next to Black Lake and start pumping right there at Black Lake, close to Black Lake wells, because they certainly have the option of supplying their own water supply. And the well may not be fully improved, but it is dug and it has been assessed. They know there's an adequate supply, and they can pump it for those homes and for the irrigation there. So for those reasons, I think it's not in the interest of our ratepayers, particularly Black Lake ratepayers, to turn this down, and I'm going to support it.
Okay, Mr. Wynn, Mrs. Worsley.
Yes, at our request yesterday, we're expecting a report from SCAI.
SCAIC.
Scientific Applications.
Yes.
International.
And I think that that would be in our best interest to get that report first, because there is a question that could be harmful to your project as well as the entire district. And I would really appreciate if we were able to table this until we have at least that report. And we have it's our responsibility to our ratepayers as well as our promise to when we spoke to the Board of Supervisors. But our first and foremost responsibility is to the ratepayers and to Black Lake. So I would really appreciate if we could table this until we did receive that report, which could be very telling. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Trotter.
I support Mike Wynn's position for the various reasons he stated. Even though this is the only and first official application, it has been discussed and has had been in the planning stage for quite a long time. So I will support this annexation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Trotter. I will also support it because we're just starting the process. The annexation agreement can be conditioned on a lot of things, and that's not going to happen this afternoon. You know, I mean, I hate to say it. And then you guys get to start the process through the county, and that will be no short process. You know, if you look on the, when we were at the Board of Supervisors yesterday, the allocation list for the South County area is many, 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 many years long. The Chestnut Villas on North Thompson there is like number 92, was it? 95? Something. Yeah, 95, which means they may actually get to start the project. In other words, put the first shovel in the ground in 8 years, 7 years, something like that. I mean, you know, it's, and that's just the waiting list. So, even if we complete the annexation agreement and condition it with delivery of supplemental water, even under the worst of circumstances, and I hope they don't get any worse than that, we'll probably have the water before you break ground. That's basically what it kind of looks like right now with that, but. So for that reason, since we are at the very front end of the process, I'm going to say yes, we should move forward on it. Mr. Wynn.
I move that we approve application for...
Okay. Let's get a first, second, and then we'll go back.
I move that we approve the application for annexation and direct staff to draft an annexation agreement.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Okay, Mr. Trotter. Now, Mrs. Wilson.
I had my hand up first before he did. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You didn't see me first.
Why don't you hit me on
the
shoulder?
I will next time.
Okay. But softly, please.
Sure. why would we want to commit to something we don't have? And we do not have supplemental water. We do not have even enough water to guarantee for the people that we're serving now. Why would we want to put ourselves in this position until we get the new annexation agreement in place to protect the entire, even their project? I mean, I think that you all, I think that you're working in the disregard to why you were elected to be on this board, is to protect our ratepayers and all new projects that come in. So, and I did have my hand up first, but next time I will be a little more rambunctious.
Or maybe I'll look around first.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. I
believe that this is a disservice at this point.
Okay, any further discussion? And we have a motion by Mr. Wynn and a second by Mr. Trotter. Mrs. Johnson, could you call for the vote, please?
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Eby?
No.
Director Wilson?
No.
President Rahad?
Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you. We will then move on to item number E2, which is a service request for apartments. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. What we have before us here is a request for water and sewer service to a 52-unit multi-family low-income development, in less words, like an apartment complex. The applicant, owner of the project is Mr. John Lewis of Napomo, who lists his address currently at 750 Grandy, which is the parcel subject to this development. It is represented by Global Premier Development of Irvine, California, and Mr. Stephen Glover of Global Premier is in the audience today and will be able to say something, a brief presentation after staff and answer any questions. This application is very similar to an application your board approved this past fall. I believe it was a 40-unit building on the lot adjacent there on Grandy, and I believe Global Premier is working on both projects. Subject property is zoned multifamily. I make some guesstimations of what type of fees the district might collect on the project, and then clearly state, though, that those fees will be defined and determined by the meter numbers and sizes that the project ultimately requires. Of course, these folks are at the beginning of a planning process, and their planning application is not even deemed complete for processing until they receive your board's intent to serve commitment. I've also broken down this project, if it received your approval today, would require a four-year water phasing scenario, as I've outlined at the bottom of your first page of your staff report. And then it is a staff's recommendation that your honorable board direct staff to issue an intent to serve letter with the conditions that are outlined on all of page 2 and part of page 3, which include the allocation phasing. We include some clear language in regards to what the applicant will need to do through this process with the district as far as entering plan check inspection agreements, again, providing a deposit to cover all district costs in processing the new development. And there are, of course, plan approvals, including irrigation plan approvals, ultimately, that will have to happen prior to issuance of a will serve letter and ultimately providing service to the project. So, again, staff's recommendation is for approval and direction to draft an intent to serve letter with these conditions or any other conditions that your board would like to insert. So with that, I will be happy to answer any questions. And again, Mr. Glover from Global Premier is here in the audience.
Okay, questions, comments of the staff? Mrs. Worsley.
Thank you. How do you base low income?
I don't actually. This applicant checked the box on our application process, and we do, and I think I condition it here right under my recommendation that low income is defined. That's a county status and defined by the county. So the project will again from here move on to the county for approval. The allocation scheme I have recommended at this point assumes that in fact the project is, as the applicant has indicated, low income. If it is not, the allocation, if the county deems it is not, or deems, and sometimes we see, okay, you've got 52 units, 20 qualify, 32 don't, whatever, then we have to revise this allocation scheme, and it may in fact cause the project to kick out an additional year to receive its full allocation. So we don't know what the county will decide in the future, so we built in that and we clearly lay it out to the applicant that could change our allocation scheme.
Do we know if these are going to be sold or they're going to be rentals?
These are apartments as they're proposed, and so that's what the district, again, ultimately we don't know, but the way, again, I've outlined this is a single master meter for the apartment buildings and then a single common landscape meter. And so that would be typical for rental apartment buildings as opposed to a condo or whatever these other classifications of private ownership units is.
Yes, I just want to comment that these are questions we could ask of the applicant. I'm not too sure what constitutes affordable housing either. Mr. Seitz, please.
Yes, I just want to read from Mr. LeBrun's recommendation. If you go down, it's on the first dot, it says, will serve letters for the project will be issued in phases as follows. But then if you go down to the next paragraph underneath there, it says this allocation schedule assumes all units of the project meet county criteria for low income. The project's allocation will be reduced accordingly if all parts of the project do not meet the county criteria. The applicant will be required to provide proof of low income criteria being met prior to the district issuing a will serve letter. So there are insurances in the recommendation to assure that this is indeed low income.
Thank you. I like to have it read out loud so people can fully understand.
Okay, would like to invite the applicant to come forward and brief presentation. And maybe you could repose your questions then after his presentation as far as what constitutes affordable housing.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stephen Glover. I'm with Global Premier Development out of Irvine, California. With the affordability, the way that our projects work is we're 100% affordable, which means all of our funding comes from the state, so we have extremely strict guidelines that we have to adhere to as far as the number of units, what size they are, square footage, things to that nature. And we are audited annually by the state. Our apartments are not sold. We own them for 55 years, and then after that, we do pretty much whatever we need to with that. But we do own them for 55 years. They will be in our possession. And since they will be in our possession and we are state funded, we are audited by the state. So we have very strict guidelines to adhere to as far as that goes. And with the affordability, the way we base that is we take the median income of the entire county and we cater to the 30 to 60 percentile of that median income. So let's say a family of four, 60%, you know, be around $60,000 to $30,000, and we base our rents off the income of the individual. So With that said, we've gone through a lot of design changes with this particular project because of the two roads that will be going through it. But we also took into consideration the the water also because of Napomo and San Luis Obispo County being so tight on their water. So what we did is we kind of joined the projects together. They're going to be sharing common open space with that, and the landscaping plan will also include drought-resistant plant life, along with proper retention and drainage and all that. So it will need as little water as possible to thrive. And we also have a management company that goes through and makes sure everything is well taken care of, and they check all the meters and things like that just to make sure everything's running properly and there's no excess.
Any other
comments
or questions at this time? Mr. Wayne?
Thank you for coming today. I appreciate you being here. I notice in your development plan, you say it'll be developed in one phase, and the construction period is approximately 12 months. But you'll notice that our scenario for allocation would be that even if you were low income, it would be a four years of allocation. So would you wait until the end of the fourth year before you started?
Yeah, we try and get them done. After we receive our entitlements in the state, we have 150 days to pull our permits and get everything going. So we try and get it done as soon as possible.
Try again. You won't get the full allocation in the first year. You'll only get about one-fourth.
Oh, okay.
So the question is, are you prepared to build this in four stages, or do you plan to save up your allocations and build them all?
Oh, we'll probably just save them all up then and then just build it all at once. I don't believe they're going to be building it in any separate stages like that. Okay.
And remember, we're already halfway through our allocation.
No, I understand.
So they, even though they may not break ground until next spring, they'll have that already on the books. So
they actually could break ground in 2.5 years from now.
Yeah, which means they probably almost have the full allocation already on the books. Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Open it to public comment for this item. Seeing none, then bring it back to the board. And
I have a comment.
Okay.
In light of our recent revelations about when we're going to get supplemental water, and the allocation policy that was previously adopted for allocating service within the district, I think that allocation policy needs to be revisited to reflect the latest information on when we might have supplemental water. And short of that policy being revisited, I don't think we should be committing to any new services until our allocation policy is updated to match our supplemental water schedule. So I wouldn't be supporting any allocations within the district until we revisit our allocation policy.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Eby. Mr. Wynn?
I will be supporting this today for a number of reasons I hope are clear. First, these people live inside the district. They're legally entitled to service. The only way, legal counsel has gone over this with us in great detail three times in the last 5 years, but until we have findings that meet the requirements of the water code, we simply do not have the authority to say no. Now, I understand Mr. Eby's point that we're not, he would be calling basically a short-term moratorium until the allocation policy was revisited. Even that kind of a moratorium, I think, is inappropriate. This is low income. This is the kind of housing our community needs most. It's been identified as the biggest state problem and certainly one of the biggest problems in the community. And we do have the water to serve. In fact, we have anywhere from 10 to 20 years of supply that we're is untapped until, and that gives us time for conjunctive pumping until we pull in supplemental water. So I see no reason for saying no to them today.
Hey, Mrs. Worsing.
Yes, you said we have how much supply?
Anywhere from 10 to 20 years. According to the DWR, WPA6, every resource study that has been made.
And how old are those studies?
As recently as 2002.
Mm-hmm. And that's been 4 years ago.
A 20-year supply doesn't go away in 4 years.
Well, 10-year supply, if you be conservative. And anyway, Mr. Trotter.
No.
No comments?
I have a comment on the comment.
Okay. Mr. Eby?
And the comment was that we can't say no. If we can't say no, there's no point of us even being here today. This is a deliberation, and we can say no. So I disagree that legally we can't turn this down at this point for the reasons I mentioned.
I do have one comment.
Mr. Trotter.
After great long deliberations, including all the different ingredients in the decision, we, in theory, set aside 51 acre feet, and this is within 51 acre feet.
Yep.
We talk about the availability of supplemental water. I'm very, very concerned about that also. But we have a structure here now, and the policies now. This is within those policies.
My argument is that policy is out of date because of new information
well,
that we have.
It may be out of date, but it exists.
And it should be revised.
Pardon me?
It should be revised. It should be updated.
I agree with that. But it is now in force.
Yeah, I try and kind of want to get dialogue going here too much. But
Wait a minute.
I would like to say one thing, if you okay. don't, but after you. Okay. But
dialogue. It's healthy. Dialogue is healthy. Keep that in mind.
The other thing is, not only is it within the 51 acre feet that was allocated, it's within the 51 acre feet that was allocated for the prior water year. Mm-hmm. And we're in our second water year of our allocation ordinance. Mm-hmm. So we haven't even used that at this point in time. We're a little over halfway, but not much. Mrs. Worsing.
Thank you. Well, we also have a lot of commitments that are out there that we have not included in the allocation that were brought in before we even started the allocation program. I don't think you all realize how many projects that aren't even online yet. And, you know, I just don't understand the problem and being on the side of safety. Do you want to run us into a building moratorium? I mean, I don't think that anybody wants a building moratorium. Now, I honestly believe that we should be on the side of caution. And this is serious business when we run out of water. It's very, very serious. And I don't know why anybody would want to put a lot of money into a project without the guarantee of water, because it could sit there and be empty for years. I mean, we could all go into some kind of a severe problem here. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Nguyen, you had your...
Yes. I move approval of and direct staff to issue an intent to serve letter for this project with the conditions as listed.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Thank you, Mr. Trotter. Mrs. Johnson, could you call for the vote, please?
Yes.
Judge Trotter?
Yes.
Judge
Eby?
No.
I'm sorry to say no at this time.
Yes. Okay, item number E3 is the conflict of interest code review. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Rahilly. I think I've pretty much staff counsel, if that's okay. Got them right in the middle.
Before we proceed, and I probably should have asked this, does anybody need to take a break?
It would be welcome.
would it be welcome?
How about 5 minutes?
Let's take a short break. It's 4:15. We'll return no later than 10:25. 10 minutes. Come back to order, and item number E3, we had already introduced it, and Mr. Seitz.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. The staff had the opportunity to take a look at its conflicts code, and what we're talking about here is disclosure on the Form 700s, and this agenda item is limited to that issue as to who files Form 700 statements and at what disclosure levels they disclose them at. This has nothing to do with whether or not these individuals have conflicts of interest, but the Fair Political Practices Act requires the board to and local agencies to consider its employees and whether or not they should be making financial disclosures on their Form 700s. When we hired Mr. Buell as the special assistance manager, we revisited that issue as to filing Form 700s and at what disclosure requirements. Now, what we broke out here is that if you take a look at page 1 of the staff report, you will basically see what's on the Form 700, and I'm prepared to go through those in some detail if that's what the board would like to do. But the long and the short of it is that you as board members, Mr. LeBrun as general manager, myself as your legal counsel, are absolutely required under the Act to file under all categories. So there's no question about it. Can we exempt ourselves from different categories? And the answer to that is no. The next question we have to ask ourselves is, what about our other employees besides our general manager, our board member, and our lawyer? And the board has some discretion there. We have always designated our administrative assistant for full disclosure because the administrative assistant, in absence of the general manager, is the general manager. So that's clearly a next step. So the next step after that is figuring out who participates in decisions or makes recommendations to the board regarding capital projects or other projects, and at what level should they be required to disclose. And what staff is recommending to your board is that we add 2 employee positions to our Form 700 disclosure categories and delete one, and then designate those categories. And what we have recommended to the board is that, number one, we delete the district engineer because we no longer have, according to our policies, what we would consider a district engineer. We hire engineers by task order on a consulting basis. And so we're recommending that they become contract consultants and that we designate their disclosure categories in their individual contracts. Because we obviously, if we have somebody working on Hetrix, probably no disclosures required. That's a very small project. But when we get to the pipeline design engineer, who will be recommending a whole lot of policy issues one way or another to the board, we're going to want to have some disclosure categories there just to be consistent with the FPPC rules. We've also recommended that we, as an institutional move, that we include our special projects assistant and our district utility supervisor, but we limit their disclosure categories to real property. In other words, if they're making a recommendation regarding, so that the real property is disclosed, and then any income and business positions that they hold within the district other than working for working for us. So that's the recommendation. The resolution is in place. If the board approves the resolution, then both the special projects assistant and the district's utility supervisor would be required to file incoming Form 700 disclosure statements. And we believe that's the appropriate thing to do. So, with
that, thank you very much.
We'll leave it to the board.
Any questions of staff, comments on this?
Just a silly little question. You're including a contract employee in this now. Since he's a contract employee and agreed to work under that contract, is this adding an additional condition to his contract that's really outside of the scope of his contract?
Well, actually, that's a good question. But what the FPPC rules and regulations of the Fair Political Practice Act requires is that if you have by the way, it streams over into consultants. Consultants are considered in the various regs. It depends on the function of the consultant. If the consultant is working on big projects that require certain policy issues and to come before the board and makes recommendations on where where to go. For example, let's just sort of play this out and we'll use our pipeline project. If he says, go up this road as opposed to that road, and he owns property on one road or another road, we would certainly want that disclosed through our disclosure process. And that's what it's meant to address. Staff doesn't envision a consultant engineer to ever be required to file under all categories. Now, it may be a potential that we would do that. When we had our consistent engineer of record for the district under our old policies, we required him to file under all categories because of the broad nature of the advice that he'd be giving to the board. Did I answer that question?
No.
I didn't think
my
so.
My question was you got an employee who agreed to work under certain contract conditions. Now, after he's agreed to that, you're adding another condition.
Oh, no, we're not adding a condition. We're adding a requirement.
But that wasn't a requirement when he signed the contract.
The only employee that has signed a contract with the district is Mr. Buell.
Yes,
and this comes to you at Mr. Buell's recommendation. So I don't believe that...
Well, it was a technical issue. I'm sure he doesn't have a problem with it, but doesn't that kind of... You're superseding contract, aren't you?
No. I don't think so, because all of our contracts, even the one with Mr. Buell, requires him to comply with all the rules, regulations of the district as amended from time to time. So I don't...
Yeah.
I don't...
That's one of those...
Catch-all phrases.
Right.
Interim general manager and your general manager, all contract employees.
Right.
Yeah. I'm the same way, and I have a management consulting business in the Pomo, which I have to then report. I've already gone through this before the district.
No, I'm not talking about this particular issue. I'm just talking about the general concept of adding a condition after the contract.
No, I don't have any.
Okay, well, you answered it when you said that they're subject to all future regulations. That's really
right. Sort of like our intent to serve and will serve letter states, too. Mr. Wynn.
Just for clarification,
almost forgot his name.
There was a number of years in which we had a position on our sort of chain of command, if you will, district engineer, which we really didn't have an annual contract. Well, we did it sometimes and not at others, but currently we don't. And my question is, if we are going to eliminate that as a staff position, I think that's already been done, then I think we should not be referring to a district engineer here in any of our things. We should simply say such consultants as shall be contracted for.
Right, and I think that's what, if you take a look at Appendix B, that's in your staff report.
I did.
We have eliminated, the district engineer, that's why I was hoping I did. And then we added the category, certain contract consultants.
Then I think D should simply read district consultants. By the way, no apostrophe, that's a plural.
Okay.
And then strike and engineers.
Well, what we're thinking here is we wanted to make it broader, but we could obviously delete engineers because our engineers are consultants.
That's what I thought.
And either way is fine with us.
Okay, I don't care. You get rid of the apostrophe, and I don't care either way.
Okay.
Which one? Where's the
apostrophe? It's on Appendix B.
Yeah.
If you go down to Category D, disclosure interest designated by contracts. And what we had down there is district consultants. We have apostrophe S making it possessive.
Okay, thank you.
And it should be singular or plural. Just
no apostrophe.
No apostrophe.
Mrs. Worsley?
On our conservation compliance officer, would be considered an employee and not a contract.
Correct, but we kind of thought about that, but we don't know that she will be making policy recommendations to the board. So we decided that we would not be recommending her to the as a position.
Just while we were at it, I thought maybe we ought to discuss it.
What I want to give you comfort is that we did think about it.
Yeah, I understand.
But even, let's say, if she recommends certain budget expenditures, which she will on time, and if, say, she were a member of some renegade organization, say, Sierra Club.
Or the Republican Party.
Or the Republican Party, yeah.
The point is that there would be no conflict of interest because she would not stand to personally gain by that, right, even though philosophically she might tilt some way or another.
That's how we analyzed it.
Yeah.
We did not analyze it, though, in the context of the Sierra Club or the Republican Party.
Okay, with that, Mr. Trotter, anything?
I have no comment.
Okay, then I'd like to open this item up to public comment. And seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the board for a motion and a second to approve this in the included resolution, which I believe is going to be 977. And so, a motion and a second.
Spelled your name wrong again.
They spelled my name wrong. Yeah, it's V-I-E-R-H-E-I-L-I-G. Thank you, Mrs. Worsley.
You're welcome.
I've noticed it misspelled recently a whole bunch, so I don't know. Maybe the computer finally. Thank you, Mr. Trotter made the motion. A second.
Second.
Mr. Eby, second. Mrs. Johnson, please.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Worsley?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That didn't take us 45 minutes. Thank you very much, everybody. Item number E4 is encumber and consolidate our COP proceeds. Mr. LeBrun, please.
Thank you, President Vermeijlich. And for this staff presentation, I'll turn right over to our project's assistant, Mr. Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Good morning, Board. Bruce
Good
Buell
morning.
On your staff. As set forth in the staff note, when you issued, in conjunction with your finance authority, a certificate of participation in 2003, you entered into a covenant that you will use your best efforts to cause the construction, acquisition, and installment of the 2003 projects to be completed by May 14, 2006. When I read that covenant, the purchase agreement, upon joining employment with the district, I was immediately concerned that you were at the ragged edge of not allocating those funds, which is the jargon that your bond counsel prefers to use. So with Mr. LeBrun's permission, I did consult with Bob Whalen. Bob agreed that it would be appropriate for your board to formally allocate these funds and to appropriate them so that it was clear that you still intended to spend them. And we analyzed the various projects that you've completed the project that you abandoned and the remaining projects that you could spend the funds on. We're recommending that you focus all of the funds on your supplemental water project. We believe at this point that the three projects that are outstanding can best be funded from other sources or may not end up getting done depending on what happens with the county. And we believe that the highest and best use of the remaining $1.5 million is to allocate those funds to the supplemental water project. I do apologize in the text that it does say Santa Maria. That was intentional. We are taking the historic language of the documents in this context. So we understand that that's not our standard policy, but we wanted to be faithful to the documents. We've prepared a resolution which would allocate the funds to the remaining funds to the supplemental water project. This has been vetted by district council and your bond counsel, Bob Whalen, and we're available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Mr. Wynn.
Mr. Buell, I'll ask if you'll refresh my memory one more time mm-hmm. on the issue of installation or placement of fire hydrants. My mm-hmm. understanding is that those actually are another part of the budget and
yes,
therefore
sir.
Do not belong in this category.
Yeah, and frankly never did belong in this category. Those are right. not commonly perceived to be capital facilities and
exactly.
not eligible for this
right.
funding.
Right.
And bond counsel was perfectly comfortable of transferring those monies out.
My question is, was the $50,000 transferred over to the line item in the budget for water hydrants and such?
No. If you had a workshop on your budget Wednesday of last week, what we've done is to analyze what our replacement schedule is for hydrants and installation schedule is for hydrants. So that's what we have recommended you fund. We didn't literally transfer any dollars. That's never been done. All of the remaining funds are literally still in the local agency investment fund under the control of the Bank of New York.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Trotter.
I asked Bruce this yesterday, but I'd like the board to hear the answer. Whenever you sell bonds or certificates, you designate the projects or whatever that the money is intended to pay for. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if we have an obligation to tell those certificate holders that this change is being made. And I'd like Bruce to answer that for the board.
The answer is no, not in this case. What we have here is, since we're spending the money still on the projects that we told the certificate of participation holders that we were going to spend it on, we're okay. If your issue is over $1 million, and you're going to spend it on any facility other than that which you included either in your purchase agreement or in the case of a bond, an engineer's report, then disclosure is mandatory.
Mrs. Worsley.
Question.
Mr. Wynn? Mr. Egan?
I have several questions, please.
Mm-hmm.
First, just to clarify, this is $3.4 million we're talking about.
Yeah, your total COP was 4, but your proceeds available for projects was around 3.4.
Okay, so this $3.4 million will now go into a budget account for the supplemental water pipeline?
You've spent 1.9, so what's remaining is 1.5.
Close to.
And what we would recommend, and I don't know if this is a technicality, and I hope the board will forgive me, but another rate covenant in your purchase agreement is that you cannot earn arbitrage. Your interest rate, your leveraged interest rate, which is what the bond market visualizes for these purposes, is 4.5%. Currently, you're earning a little over 4% at LAIF, and if you look at their yield curve, what's happened over the past year, it's gone up pretty quickly. Within, I would say, 6 months, we will have an obligation to remove these funds from the local agency investment fund, because if we do earn arbitrage, that would call into question the tax-exempt status of this issue. which would be a serious problem with the holders of the COPs.
But my real question is our internal accounting, our budgeting, which Lisa was here, she could probably answer it real quick. Mm-hmm. But we do have an account right now for the supplemental water pipeline.
Yes, sir. We have an account for all of the COP proceeds, and as you can see on this page, we've tracked to the dollar what we've spent thus far on each of the projects. So we don't have a separate bank account now for any of these dollars, but we have fund accounting, and we're tracking every dollar we spend on every project.
But this money will go, this 3 point, whatever it is, will go into an account number.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be supplemental water account number.
Yes, we've actually got that sub-fund, if you will, and we're going to continue to track it. And if your board accepts staff's recommendations, it'll just be a certain larger amount that we can draw from.
Okay. The other question is, this money essentially comes from property taxes that were paid by residents within the NCSD boundaries. Mm-hmm. This will go toward the benefit of future it'll go. Some of the benefit will go to current NCSD customers. Some of it will go to people outside the current NCSD boundaries who we don't even know who they are yet. How will those people who benefit from this project in the future pay back the property taxpayers within the NCSD district for their portion of it?
Okay. As you know, we're asking all development to pay a capacity fee. That is theoretically the buy-in to the project. It's the total project. Your recommendation from your standing committee is that we currently visualize the total project cost at $10 million, and it may be less or it may be more depending on what actually happens during construction. One of the recommendations for tonight's session is that you do revisit that capacity fee, at least the portion for the pipeline. And the idea is that those new customers need to pay a fee up front that not only pays for what you are yet to borrow, but repays that which you have previously borrowed and spent on the project. So there is an attempt to achieve an equity. Right now, my suspicion is that the capacity fee is somewhat shy of that equity benchmark, and that's why we're recommending a subsequent review of that portion of the capacity fee.
Okay. I want to chime in here, just Mr. Seitz, just a bit. I agree with everything that Mr. Buell says, but there is one other category that we have, and that is our annexation fee. So we have to. I know I'm mixing apples and oranges because we're talking about supplemental water and things, but the idea of the annexation fee that we charge, and it's a per acre fee, and I forget the exact number.
$500
per acre. That the concept, and all agencies have this, of the annexation fee is to buy in to existing administrative facilities. Because as Mr. Bill has pointed out, our property taxes built this building. And those property taxes came from our existing residents at the time. And so as people annex in, maybe it's not a perfect world, so I don't want you to say nickels and dimes, because I'll admit to it, there are no nickels and dimes in this stuff. But when they pay that annexation fee, the basic concept is to recapture a percentage of the property taxes that they would have paid to the district if they had been in our original boundaries. Does that make sense? I mean, I hope I'm stating that clear. That's the concept why we have an annexation fee, is to sort of recoup a little bit of their property taxes that they haven't paid the district, that have gone to pay for facilities and property taxes have paid for. So tonight you might want to take a look at that as an issue
also.
And maybe I'll throw in, we've got apples, oranges, and then we have
peaches.
the Black Lake annexation and the Summit Station annexation that of course are now part of this district. But it's something else that throws a wrench into our attempt to assign equity to the entire project as we go forward. is that when your board negotiated those annexations, of course, days passed, and none of you directors, I don't believe, were on the board. In any event, they came in without a property tax exchange. So those customers of the district, which live within Summit Station or Black Lake, don't actually pay into the property tax rolls of this district. But again, these issues, nickels and dimes may not be the right figures, but we understand we'll be able to get to a level. We'll try to our best to address equity issues as we move forward. But if you take any one individual and try to break it down as to whether it's equitable to that, it becomes very difficult. Many, many complicating factors. So I'm trying
to. I wish you hadn't mentioned that. You just opened up an old wound.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I just think it's something to keep it all in context as we're trying to assign equity and move forward with our project. Benefits of and then
I cannot believe that this
cost of the project made like that. Real hard.
Just Mr. Wynn.
Did you have another question, Mr. Wynn?
I would just request that staff maybe agendize a discussion of those issues, painful as they are, for some future date. Are they still negotiable? Is this something that the county could be persuaded to do?
Just very briefly, and I can answer that with a two-letter word, no. After I became district legal counsel and we reviewed these issues, we attempted to go back and talk to the county about reassigning those property taxes that we would, that we would have gotten. And
you got that same answer?
We got sure. Yeah, the same answer I'm giving you was no. And by the way, there isn't going to be a legal basis, in my opinion, and I'll say this publicly because I think it's correct. Because the property tax negotiations is a condition to the LAFCO annexation, and we agreed to it. So, sort of keep in mind, those are, and just so that there's a context here, we're not the only agency that got into this trap. I mean, I don't think you can say, just us, but. It's just one of those anecdotal things that occurred within the district, and I don't think there's any way that we're ever going to go back and undo what happened 20 years ago.
But would that provide then a nexus for any new development, either in Summit Station or in Black Lake, to recoup some of the losses because they are buying into a system?
I don't believe that is going to work. I've worked with agencies with the strategy because we're going to beat this to death here, I can tell. One of the things, the property tax allocation is always a contentious issue because people in Summit Station don't pay lower property taxes because some of their tax allocation isn't coming to us. It's where the county will allocate the property taxes it receives.
Yeah.
So there's no disparity between people in some space paying less property taxes or all paying the same. What can I tell you? I just don't know that.
Yeah, we're sort of going far astream here, although it is a good topic
for some future
at
yeah.
some point. Mr. Trotter?
I'd like to request that Mr. Buell give the board a monthly accounting of the contributions and the disbursements from the pipeline account. It wouldn't be hard to maintain and it would help the board understand the progress and where we stand on all these issues.
I tend to agree. It'd be nice to have a summary showing money that, beginning balance, money that came in, and money that went out, and for what?
Separate from what's customarily given to the board.
Yeah. Be handy. So, Mr. Eby.
Everybody's done. I'm ready to make a motion.
I think so. Is everybody done?
Yeah.
Open it to public comment on this item. Seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Eby.
I move we adopt the resolution.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Eby, a second by Mrs. Wersing. Mrs. Johnson?
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Wersing?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Winter?
Yes.
President
Trotter? Yes. Okay, then moving on to item number F is our manager's report. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President O'Reilly.
This is probably the last one you'll have to do, pal.
Yes.
Although I'll see you Monday, maybe I can rope you into it.
I've given an updated allocation form that's attached, and as you see highlighted, that was the highlighted is the Roosevelt Department, which was approved earlier today by the board. Even with that approval, our allocation is within the limits, and our percentage of completion of the water year and percentage of allocation is doing well there. This will probably be the last rainfall total update I would expect for this year, but it has been a very good wet year. We have, of course, and this is something I missed on earlier today, and that is an introduction of our interim general manager, Mr. Edward Crimes, here to the right of me today, and he's been on board since Monday, and he and I are working to turn over those functions of my job that he'll be taking over in the interim and through your board. There's a note here under administrative. We've had quite a, actually the calls have quite quieted down on this, but this item, we sent a letter out to all the parcels, approximately 200 parcels that lie within the septic system prohibition area that the state designated for certain areas in the Pomo back in 1978. We've informed these folks that we have filed on their property title information and a requirement that stems from the ordinance that your board passed this past fall, which requires that any of those properties that are within 50 foot of the district sewer must hook to the district sewer prior to property transfer. So this would trigger on a title search as the property enters into escrow. So sent that letter out, informative letter, meant to let folks know what we've done and why we're doing it. And we have received, I've had five or six calls make it through to me based on Kathy's typical performance on the phone. I would bet then that we had 30 or better calls. Most looking just for clarification and understand, one that comes often is my lot's vacant. This is, I understand that. However, this will ride on title. And then if you transfer a vacant property, the district would allow that transfer but maintain that recording on title. And I have received a number of calls where folks were a bit dismayed. They bought their home in the last 5 years or so and had no idea of this. This had not been disclosed. They were on a septic tank. They knew that, but they did not know they were in a prohibition area. Why didn't this happen before? Well, I can't give you an accurate history lesson, but I hope you feel better. Going forward, this will be disclosed, and that was our purpose. We want to disclose this aspect and then require a hookup when those properties are transferred and they're within 50 feet of our sewer system. So I think most of those folks were happy about that. And this has impacted, I see some questions I'll be happy to answer. Lastly, though, there was one parcel property at the end of Chestnut Street that is in escrow, and they're affected. It was great. I spoke with the owner of the property who grew up on the property, and he remembers when his dad, who he typified as, I won't use his terms, but he was upset with his dad, who's now passed on and left him with this mess. Because they did not volunteer for the sewer, did not participate in the sewer. So in order for this man to transfer those properties, they'll have to extend the sewer main to the end of Chestnut and run laterals, and there's some expense here. But he understands it and is willing see a couple questions on this item. I'd be happy to answer this time.
Mr. Reed, did I understand that a vacant lot transfer has to hook up to the sewer?
No. The title entry will run with the property, but in those situations where there is nothing to hook up, we won't require the nothing to be hooked up. I just have to let property owners know that if they sell the lot vacant, we will, of course we'd be contacted and then we do what we need to do to allow the transfer, but to keep our filing on title.
Mr.
Is there some way this is going to be recorded so it shows up on the title?
That's what's been done.
That has been done.
The recording was done, it was earlier in March. It took some time for the county clerk recorder since there were so many parcels. And then what you have in your packet today is an informative letter that staff took it upon themselves to mail out to all these property owners that were affected by this filing.
I know where the boundaries are for the prohibition zone on the west side of 101.
Yes.
Can you tell me what the boundaries are on the east side?
The east side boundary, let me see if I can pull this thing up, but the east side boundary was drawn from a couple of purposes. And what the state did when they drew that east side boundary was they tried to pull in there had been some trailer parks that the county had approved on septic tanks, very small lot, high density trailer parks. And so the state drew that out and grabbed those trailer parks, and that's really what dictated that boundary. Now, let me see. I may be able to pull it up, but it's a bit of a circuitous boundary.
The map that we have here before us is overlaying an old map. Mm-hmm. The lines mm-hmm. are on an old map, don't show current roads.
That's true.
And I don't know whether it's the urban service line or the urban reserve line on the east side of Thompson.
And I'm not certain that the state file or followed any particular county planning line when they drew this. I don't know if this will help. It's not the best picture. Oh, it's a little hard to see. Let me see if I can close this and get a little larger. But the area that's highlighted in light green is, in fact, a prohibition area, and I'll try to trace it here for you. But it's over, as you know, on the east side of 101. It comes up and cuts across on this alignment. I believe this is Sanidale and Jupiter.
That's on the west side.
Yeah, I'm coming over to the west side. You asked me the west side boundary now? Is that what I'm trying to answer? How, the west side boundary?
Yeah.
The west side the boundary.
West or the east.
Which side boundary?
West of 101.
West of 101, thank you.
I could have sworn
so here's the west side boundary, the northern portion of it, and it comes. This is, again, the Pomo Community Park for orientation and Pomeroy Road, and then...
No, I think this is Sandy. But you're on the west side of 101. I want the east side of 101. East side of 101.
Okay.
We asked you, and you said west.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
My mistake.
I thought you originally said east.
Yeah. East side of 101.
That's why I suddenly looked at Ed when you said west. I said,
my
east, said
my
west.
Apologies.
But, yeah, no, you just east. Let me see if this, it's, yeah, I've got to mess around with the layer here. It's dropped. Oh, there it is. Good. It did come up. So here, we're starting to see now on the east side of 101. Is this... I'll go to the north a little bit more. Is that your area of interest?
And do I... No, that's fine. Do I understand that if you have a blue and a red, that those are really the same location?
No, I'm sorry. I've got a layer on here. The blue is actually our water distribution lines.
Okay.
So the red is what represents district boundaries.
Well, right. That's not correct then.
I'm sorry?
The prohibition...
The prohibition area goes beyond district boundaries. In more areas than one, and this one in particular. But this is,
that area right there is in the prohibition zone.
This area is in the prohibition zone.
Right.
And then the red boundary.
But the district boundaries go further than what's shown there. They go up.
Excuse me, I don't have a pointer. They go up to here.
I don't know.
Okay, we're talking about the septic prohibition.
Okay.
I'm not denying that, and we'll check into our representation of district boundary on this GIS system.
But prohibition is on this side of Thompson, on west of Thompson, but not east of Thompson, outside the district.
That's what I have. I do believe the depiction of the prohibition zone is correct in being outside the district boundary in this area. Mm-hmm. This is Thompson Road and Knott's, which I'll defer to Director Wynn, as he knows this area.
But the blue and the red on Knott's is really the same line, isn't it?
Again, the blue is our water line.
Right.
I could get rid of that. Yeah, but our water line does not run with our district boundary line necessarily.
Right. Okay, right. And that's why they're saying.
I've got layers confusing things.
Hopefully you're in slightly.
Yeah.
Well, plus you're serving only one side of the street, so it's obvious you run the water line up that side of the street, which is basically.
However, there are many areas where our water lines go outside our district boundaries.
You
it's
bet.
Not an issue.
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, so the red and blue wouldn't coincide.
I'm fine.
File on title, and then this letter was sent as an affirmative action. Then we have, I've attached a project field and conservation compliance activity reports that were forwarded by the individual staff responsible in those areas. I would like to bring to your attention specifically a septic system maintenance flyer that I believe all directors received in their packet. Just an example of the power the district has now for producing outreach flyers and information. And this was done at the request of a director at our last meeting. And I think it was a very good request. Well, something that was needed. A lot of folks have already said, gee whiz, that's just what I need. Ms. Dunbar put this together in a relatively short time, and we got that out. Out to our public. So I think that's pretty exciting. And while I was a little tongue-tied earlier in the meeting today, President Verheilig had asked me to take this opportunity of my last management report to, in his words, tell the board where to go. and while that certainly is tempting, thank you.
Treated me and educated me and really helped me with
what is a great challenge in the position. And then, again, and lastly, I thank your board for this opportunity to serve both the board and the community.
Mr. Trotter, I believe you.
You know, fuck, I get choked up listening to all this. Could I bring up a very mundane subject? This mysterious object in the corner back here, is that a future air vent?
Oh, thanks. Anyway, the item in the back corner, I meant to do that with the show and tell. Lift it so you can see what we're talking about. This is, you see throughout the district blue metal cans in various states of need of painting, maintenance, I'll say. Those are air vacs, so they're laid in the high part of a water line, and what they do is whenever they sense air or air collects there, they'll automatically vacuum that air out. Those blue cans cap the piping. And make it look, I guess, more aesthetically pleasing. That's debatable. This is a recycled plastic, high-density plastic, very similar to what will be likely running as a water line across the Santa Maria River, so highly durable material. The color is a little more inviting. The blue tape, our field staff actually envisions using the blue tape only on those cans that are out in more rural areas where they will tend to be targets for vehicles if they aren't, if they don't pick them up on a blue reflector. So requires little or no maintenance. It's graffiti resistant, and as you saw me lift it up, the old metal cans, it took two of our much stronger field staff to manage that. I can pick this thing up. So that's what you'll see coming into the district. And it'll be
I was being facetious. I knew what that was. And believe me, I welcome it, because your blue cans are the shabbiest collection of junk I've ever seen in my life. And hopefully, someday, they'll all be replaced by something like this.
That is where we're going, and thanks.
At this time, is there any other questions on Mr. LeBrun's manager's report? Thank you, Mr. LeBrun, and job well done.
Thanks. I do have a question on Buell's report, which is part of his report, I think. You do mention in here, Bruce, that you're going to be someday giving us a graphical schedule.
Yes, sir.
I assume that you haven't done that because you've got a lot of TBDs in there.
Frankly, we got new software, and just the press of other duties has prevented me from fully exploring that new software.
Okay, well, I wouldn't mind seeing that, even if it did have TBDs in it, mm-hmm. because I told you before, I'm kind of graphically oriented. Mm-hmm. If I could see a picture, it means a lot more to me, so
yes.
As soon as you can get that, I'd sure appreciate it.
All right, very good.
And then moving on to committee reports, start with Mr. Wynn, committee reports.
Nothing.
Okay, Mr. Eby, I believe you've had
several.
I don't think
several.
We had a committee meeting since the last NCSD meeting. We're going to have one tonight. But
yeah,
I know
you're going to have one tonight.
Did we report in the last meeting we had?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Trotter, have you had any committee meetings as chair of the funding or the design?
Thank you, I think.
Design. Thank you.
Thank you, I think.
Yes.
Bruce should comment on this because I was the tour leader, but Bruce and representative from Black Lake and Cliff went to Bakersfield yesterday, toured some of Arvin Edison's facilities. And also some Vaughn Water facilities. Vaughn Water serves the northeast portion of Bakersfield. And maybe Bruce could comment on his tour.
Please, Mr. Buell.
It was an excellent tour, and I'm grateful for Cliff for setting it up. But what it provided is a number of perspectives on maintenance, superb maintenance, at least with Arvin Edison. But we did get to see two pumping plants, one medium-sized and one extra-large-sized pumping plants. We did get to see two spreading grounds. We visited the Arvin Edison office. I think Cliff delivered a peace offering because we were there just before their board meeting, so things were a little crazy. And then over at Vaughn Water Company, a good perspective on a large-sized tank. What we visited was a 2.7 million gallon storage reservoir. Very well done, good design, good layout, and a good maintenance on that facility. And then also a well station with a treatment facility, which I think was also very well done. So it was well worth the effort, and good Basque food.
Thank you very much, Mr. Buell. And Mrs. Wersing and I, the personnel committee, we did meet with Mr. Tom Bacchetti from Ralph Anderson and Associates on Wednesday the 3rd, and went over the criteria for the new permanent general manager's position as far as what we're looking for in a individual and what the district and the community has to offer. In other words, what is Napomo, who are we, where are we, so on and so forth. One of the items that was brought up and which I think merits further discussion at our next board meeting, which was going to be under director's comments, but this is good time as any. Actually, let's, yeah, here we go. Payment of relocation expenses and housing, including a possible loan from NCSD to make housing a little more affordable in the area. And that assumes a person would come out of the area. So we but this is something I think the board does need to consider as part. Usually most corporations, when they relocate an executive or when they bring an executive in, they pay the relocation costs, moving vans, so on and so forth. Housing, that's something that we will need to discuss. So just wanted to bring that up. And my impression of Mr. Bacchetti, as he pronounces it, very, very thorough, very thorough. We had an extremely productive meeting. We should be getting a draft general manager type advertisement to go out for general manager shortly for board consideration about the end of the month. At our 24th meeting?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we're shooting for. And that's all I had. Then moving on to director comments. I know Mr. Wynn is chomping at the bit here, so if Mr. Trotter doesn't mind, I'll start with Mr.
No,
Wynn.
No, I already made my, okay. My comments.
Mr. Wynn.
As far as the RAC is concerned, there will be a meeting Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock in San Luis Obispo to talk about the Paso Robles groundwater banking scheme. I don't know if there's anybody here, but nonetheless, it will be open to the public. We do have a week from Saturday, my daughter's getting married, so that's going to occupy my immediate foreground here for a while. So if I'm walking around in a daze, you'll understand why that is. Dorothea Lang Elementary School will be opening. They'll have the ribbon cutting on Wednesday the 24th. I think all the board members have received invitations.
Yeah, right. It's did everybody
mail,
receive one of these?
I think you received one of those. But anyway, that'll be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. and that's certainly worth attending, I think. And then the regular meeting of the RAC will be held as usual on the first Wednesday of June, and but we'll meet before then. So.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Mr. Eby, director comments?
Oh, let's see.
You want me to continue and come back?
No, I was just trying to think of what we did yesterday. We had an interesting meeting at the Board of Supervisors yesterday where they took up a marathon of title changes, the growth management ordinance and a planning area standard and for the land use ordinance and a building and safety ordinance. They bunched them all into one and then have public comments, so when you have public get up there talking, you didn't know what they were talking about usually. And the Board of Supervisors went on forever and finally decided to call it a day and revisit the thing next Tuesday. So our water issue and the growth management ordinance will be rediscussed next Tuesday, and that'll be their first vote on the subject.
I thought they were coming back on the 23rd.
They were coming back on the 23rd, but it was pointed out to them that the growth management ordinance expires on July 1st, so everything would revert back to the previous ordinance. Okay. And so they figured they'd better get everything passed because they have to have two hearings, and they figured they'd better get everything passed before July 1st. So next Tuesday, they're going to add it to the agenda, and then the 23rd, they'll do the final on it.
What do they do with the LUL? Is that going to come back on next Tuesday?
Everything, because there was new wording because of Bornhold's question. The new language Bornhold wanted to put in there, and they weren't sure that you were in agreement with it, or whether county council was in agreement with it. So they just said, they decided that it was getting too late and they were getting too tired, and it was obvious because they weren't thinking straight. So they wisely put it off for another week.
Thanks for the update. Yeah, I think I left probably just before that, but anything. Mrs. Worsing, director comments? Mr. Trotter, director comments? Okay, I'll just very briefly, we all received one of these in our mailboxes on WaterWise Landscaping Workshops. That's going to be held here, June, July, and August. The dates are there. Also, one more time here, SLO County Draft Parks and Recreation Element is going before the Planning Commission for study sessions. On June 8th and July 13th, they'll be in the Board of Supervisors chambers where they hold. Those are on Thursdays. And what can I say? Been at this for over 2 years, and here we are. I spoke to a member of the Napomo Arts Council, and they would love to hang art in our boardroom. They're willing to sign all and any waivers for damage, theft, ad nauseum, but they feel this would be an appropriate place to put some of the community's artists' art, and seeing Van Gogh's Starry Night, or looking into a Insane Mind at that point, and the other one, I'd certainly welcome something more uplifting than those two. And I know we have talked about this before, but I would like to possibly get it, depending on the agenda for our next meeting, that it be placed on there with direction to staff to either say no or move ahead with talking to the Napomo Arts Council. Yeah, please. So with that, that's all the comments I have. And Mr. Seitz, I believe you indicated you had something.
No, I was just... That's fine. Just want to make sure everybody understands that, unfortunately, there are issues with the public display of art that that are, not that we can't overcome them, it's just that there's going to be some issues, and you probably can guess what it is. What's art? What is acceptable? And how far can a governmental agency go that is going to accept public display of art in judging what art gets displayed and what art doesn't get displayed? I don't write these rules. I wasn't on the court's decisions when they did this. Probably disagree with most of them. But the fact of the matter is, that's the environment in which we will be required to consider those. But I'm optimistic that we can come up with some type of arrangement where we can get art in here. See, how can I phrase this politically correct? That will not offend, that will be acceptable to the entire community. Okay. I don't want to get into the negative side of it, because that's exactly what comes out.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. And if there are no further director comments, then...
We've got one little staff input.
Please, Mr. LeBron.
Try to put this in right. But in any event, this is something I missed on my manager's report. And that is, the LAFCO Commission has sent us a notice. They have canceled their May 18th meeting, the LAFCO Commission, and have rescheduled all their May 18th items, which includes the Holloway annexation, of which we have particular interest, for their next regularly scheduled meeting. That's June 15th, 2006. So if I could make copies of the notice, or if that's good enough.
I'd like one.
I'll put copies of this notice in each director's inbox, if not in your hand, before you leave.
That way those with very busy memories will be able to have a piece of paper to look at, even though it may be at the bottom of some pile. Then, with that said, would like to move into closed session.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. We do have five items on closed session, all of them having to do with pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, and I'll read them off. One is the Santa Maria groundwater adjudication in Santa Clara County. The second one is Maria Vista versus the NCSD. The next one is Citizens Against Non-Notification versus NCSD. The next one is the Coast Keeper versus NCSD. And the last one is Jesse Hill Improper versus the NCSD.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. At this point, would like to open it to public comment for any item on the closed session before going into closed session. Seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the board and we will adjourn the closed session.
Start recording.
Okay, Mr. Sykes, if you could report out from closed session.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. The board did adjourn the closed session at approximately 11:30, discussed the five items that are listed on the agenda. This is the report at the conclusion of that closed session meeting. Item number one, this is the Santa Maria groundwater adjudication. The board did hear an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. Again, number two, conference with legal counsel. This is the Maria Vista lawsuit. They did give direction to staff on settling one issue, but took no reportable action. Conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Citizens Against Non-Notification. This is CON versus NCSD. Again, heard an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. As to the fourth one, this is pending litigation. This is the Coast Keeper versus the NCSD. They did authorize staff legal counsel to defend the lawsuit and to retain outside legal counsel for assistance. Number five, conference with legal counsel. This is Jesse Hill Improper versus the NCSD and related liability claim. The board did instruct legal counsel to defend the lawsuit with the assistance of the law firm of McDonough, Holland, and Allen, and gave further instructions to legal counsel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sykes. And with that, Meeting's adjourned. We did well. Thank you very much, all the board, Ed, Mike, Judith, and for hanging in there.
I think it, like, just make a suggestion. Those little kids, when they were here, it would have been nice if they'd stayed and saw a little bit of the
political class.
I think they have to go back to school.
Oh, this they were in school.
Yeah,
well, that's important.
School
they probably did all they could.
I see.
I'm sure they might have preferred that to going back.
The supervisors do. They have the kids stand in front of the desk, and then all the directors stand behind the desk, and you take the picture.
Nice photo op.
Yeah, I thought about asking you to come forward and stand with me.
Actually, we all stood behind the table, and they all stood in front of the desk.
Yeah, we could have stood up.
Well, we're learning how to do this.
Yeah. We're still learning how to do it.
We haven't done enough of that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's good.
And they're so cute.
Yes, they are.
They're just so cute.
And it's public relations, too.
Yeah, and, you know, word now gets out. People start thinking about this stuff. Well, thank you, Ed, for...